The case of a Kenosha teen under arrest for killing her alleged sex trafficker has gained national attention. At the age of 17, Crystal Kaiser shot and killed 33-year-old Randy Volar and then burned down his house after he repeatedly abused her and filmed their encounters. Volar is accused of abusing other young Black women as well. The case highlights the complicated issues surrounding sex trafficking and what rights victims have when they've committed a crime, similar to the murder charges Kaiser faces. Our next guest has been covering the issue and joins us to talk about the case. Jessica Contrera is a reporter for The Washington Post. Jessica, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
How did you first come across this case?
I was doing research on sex trafficking because I've been writing stories all year about teenagers. And this is a topic that impacts many, many teenagers in our country. And some of those teenagers who are sex trafficked end up involved in other crimes. So as I was doing research about that, I came across a local news story about Crystal Kaiser.
Tell us a little bit about the charges against Crystal Kaiser, kind of set the stage for us for how we ended up where we are today.
Sure. So Crystal is charged with first-degree intentional murder. She is believed to have shot a man in the head, lit his house on fire, and then fled in his car. At first, it wasn't very clear how she knew the man, and then police learned more, and as that information was released, it became clear that this man had been sexually abusing Crystal for nearly 2 years, and that he was also sexually abusing other underage Black girls.
Had he ever come onto the radar of law enforcement before?
Yes, he had actually 3 months before his death been arrested under charges of child sexual assault for a situation involving another 15-year-old girl. What happened was on the same day that he was arrested, the police department in Kenosha County released him, and they continued their investigation but didn't turn it over to the district attorney for another 3 months. And during that time, he remained free.
This man, Randy Volar, was on the radar of law enforcement. They were investigating it. In reading your article, Jessica, it seems unusual that he was released and with no bail.
It is unusual. I talked to other prosecutors in Wisconsin, people who have been, investigating and charging sex crimes for years, and they said that the charges that Randy Volar faced were very serious charges that typically would have resulted in a very high bail.
And do we have any idea why it didn't?
Somewhat. I spoke with the district attorney in Kenosha County. His name is Michael Gravely. He told me that at the time, the investigation had been turned over to his office about 12 days before Randy Volar's death, that they were still investigating, still trying to find out more information. But what we know is that at the point that the investigation was turned over to them, the police had already determined that Randy Volar had hundreds of child pornography videos and that he was making videos of girls who appeared to be as young as 12.
How did Volar and Crystal Kaiser originally meet?
That's a really good question. I think Crystal, when I spoke to her, her and I talked in jail, when she talked with me from jail, she at first was hesitant to tell me. She said, oh, we met at a bus stop. But what actually happened was that she posted an advertisement on Backpage, which was a website related to prostitution that was shut down recently for human trafficking. Crystal came from an extremely poor family, and this is what we see happen often with sex trafficking. So the federal law says that children cannot consent to being sold for sex. That is sex trafficking, no matter what the circumstances are. And so Crystal fell into a trap that a lot of young Black girls who get involved in this world do, where they're vulnerable and adults take advantage of them.
And reading your article, Jessica, Crystal had a mom who cares very much about her. She has other siblings. She was very creative. She was playing the violin. She drew. This is not the profile of a child that I think some people would like to think would be vulnerable to this. What did you learn in talking with Crystal and in looking into this about how young girls end up in these situations?
Thank you so much for asking that, because that was definitely one of the things I learned the most about. You know, sometimes when I would say I was working on a story about sex trafficking, people would ask me, oh, where is she from? Because we tend to think of sex trafficking as something that happens in other countries, or it happens when children are kidnapped or locked in chains. But what I learned about child sex trafficking is that it's happening all the time in America. It just doesn't look quite like you might expect. The vast majority of cases, it happens like what happened to Crystal. You have a vulnerable kid who might have, you know, a loving family, but they, you know, kind of come into contact with an adult who very slowly earns their trust and convinces them, you know, that they are loved. You know, and they get attention in a different way. The child comes to trusting that adult, and then the adult convinces the child that their involvement in the sex trade is actually the child's fault. And so then the child is afraid to come forward and tell their mom or tell a police officer, this person is abusing me. They might not even realize that they are being abused.
We're talking with Jessica Contrera right now. She's a reporter for The Washington Post, and she wrote an extensive article about the case of Crystal Kaiser, who is under arrest for killing her alleged sex trafficker. And I think we can't not talk about the issue of race here, Jessica. There are several instances of young girls of color who have killed their white alleged trafficker. And it would appear that the punishments are quite severe given the situations. What did you find out?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it's certainly not exclusively girls of color who are trafficked. There are also cases very similar to this one that involved white girls. But what we know is that Black girls in America are consistently wrongly treated to be older than they really are, or thought to be more sexually mature than they really are. There are many studies to that effect. And so we see when a lot of these girls are, you know, being taken advantage, being abused, the public or sometimes officials don't quite treat it as risky or as urgent, because there's a perception that the girls themselves are putting themselves out there. Of course, we know that that is not the case, that they can't consent to being involved in the sex trade. So this was the case, you know, with Crystal here, who's a young Black girl. The man who was abusing her was white. And from what we know from public records, the other young girls he was abusing and videotaping were also Black children.
So what approach is the district attorney taking in trying this case?
The district attorney is charging Crystal with first-degree intentional murder. And in Wisconsin, that charge carries an automatic life sentence. So at this point, if Crystal is convicted, she will spend the rest of her life in jail.
And what about Crystal's attorneys? What are they arguing?
So Crystal's attorneys have turned to a law that exists in Wisconsin and in most other states. They have a similar law that's called the affirmative defense. It basically says, you know, if you are charged with a certain crime, often that crime is prostitution, you can go before a judge or a jury and say, the reason why this crime happened was because I was being trafficked. In Wisconsin, that statute is not limited to just a charge of prostitution. Statute itself is very broad. And so what Crystal's attorneys have tried to do is say that these charges against her also happened because she was a victim of sex trafficking.
And has that affirmative defense been used successfully before in Wisconsin or elsewhere?
No, actually, this is the first time that, at least in court, this defense is going to be used for a violent crime of any kind.
And how has the judge responded to the defense wanting to use this affirmative defense?
So last month, or excuse me, this month, earlier this month, in early December, the judge made a ruling about whether the affirmative defense applied to cases like Crystal's. And what he ruled is that for her, it doesn't. But he also encouraged her attorneys to appeal his ruling since it was the first of its kind. So this question is really still up in the air, whether or not Crystal will be able to use the affirmative defense.
It's very interesting because this case has a lot of parallels with the Cyntoia Brown Long case. In that case, she was also a teenager who was sex trafficked after she had run away. She was solicited for sex by a man and, according to Cyntoia Brown, feared for her life when she was brought to his house, shot him in self-defense. And even though she was a minor, she was tried as an adult and was sentenced to life in prison, but was recently released. What do you see as the parallels and maybe lessons between the cases?
That's a great question. So Cyntoia's case and Crystal's case are incredibly similar. But one thing I noticed about how different they are is back when Cyntoia was, you know, first going through her process, she wasn't necessarily called out as a sex trafficking victim. People didn't know what that was, and Cyntoia herself didn't understand what that was. When her case went viral 2 years ago, that's when people were really saying, you know, this was a child, this was a sex trafficking victim. And what's interesting about Crystal's case is that's part of the conversation from the start. And so Cyntoia has since been released from prison. She was granted clemency and released in August. And she actually published an op-ed in the Washington Post talking about Crystal's case and basically saying that these laws that we put into effect, you know, don't just impact individual cases like hers and Crystal's, that there are countless other stories going on that we don't even know about that are impacted as well.
And Jessica, before we let you go, what is the next step in this case and what are you going to be watching for?
So Crystal's lawyers are planning to appeal the judge's recent ruling on the affirmative defense. So the questions that come next are, will the appeals court in Wisconsin take that case up? What will the next judge rule? And will this case keep going? Will we see Crystal go before a jury? And then the question for that jury is, you know, how much does it matter that Crystal was a victim of sex trafficking when she committed a murder?
Well, Jessica, thank you so much for bringing us up to speed, and we'll certainly want to check in with you as this case progresses.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jessica Contrera is an enterprise reporter for The Washington Post. She joined us today to talk about the case of Crystal Kaiser, a Kenosha teenager accused of murdering Randy Volar, a man who allegedly trafficked and sexually abused her.